You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Jam-packed weekend in the SEC, but nothing bigger than right here at the home of the two-time defending national champion. The Dogs taking on the Wildcats, and we say hello to you from a fired-up Athens, Georgia. It's great to be here. Nice afternoon, Roman, Tim, and Tim. It's kind of afternoon that you get fired up about. Of course,
no doubt.
Get fired up on a dreary day, but it doesn't matter. Good afternoon.
Yeah, afternoon to you. Paul, they kind of like you here, almost as much as Bama.
You're going to start there.
Well, there's some Bama people who think I made that transformation a couple years ago, and the truth of the matter is I did.
He knows how to play to the home crowd. He's very good at it.
He's just playing with them. He doesn't know. They don't know.
I have always loved Kirby Smart when he was an assistant at Bama, and I followed him over here, and I frankly think they're going to do it. I mean, there's a lot of criticism of this team, but I think they're going to – make a run at it again, Tim. Tell this crowd here and tell everybody what you – everybody talks about what's wrong with the Dogs. There's some things to like.
Yeah, it gets very frustrating. I mean, it's so hard when you've been so successful like they have. I think it's 22 in a row, and people want to find the reasons why it's not as good. But do you know last week when they go to Jordan-Hare, beating that team for those 3 hours? I know Auburn this season hasn't been – as good as they used to be, but that last Saturday afternoon, that was a pretty good Auburn football team that showed up. Hugh Freeze calling the plays, that defense, and I know people are like, well, that Georgia didn't beat them by as many. All right, well, look at last year, the Kent State game. Look at the Missouri game. Georgia in the streak hasn't always destroyed teams, but they do it their way, and once again, Georgia's doing it. It's another victory, and you need to understand that this team's getting better every single week. It's a quarterback that's only had a handful of starts, a team that's continuing to get better, and they play their best when their best is needed in the second half, in the fourth quarter, and that's something Georgia fans should be really excited about.
You know, and Roman, Dog fans tolerate you being an Alabama guy. Tim, it's a whole nother story. There's a lot of history there, but I want to go back to something, because I mentioned this to you earlier when I saw you for the first time, that I didn't know that there was a level of animus toward you. I thought everyone loved Roman Harper, didn't you guys?
That's all I've seen.
Not everyone. Hold on just a second. Let's go back to yesterday's program. An Auburn fan called in.
You know who is not fantastic? Is Roman Harper. That guy is the most biased commentator on the entire ESPN platform. He has no ability. In fact, last week when y'all were about to discuss on Friday last week, during Friday's show, you know, somebody brought up the Auburn-Georgia game. He kind of just said, you know, I don't even care about that. And then y'all just, you know, moved away from it. You know, if I tell my boss I don't care about something at work, I expect my paycheck to be docked. So, you know, I have no problem with being a fan of your team. And you know, kind of egging it on a little bit. I mean, McElroy does that on Jocks in the Morning. I get it, but he's still able to dissect Auburn appropriately.
So is he mad that I didn't dissect them at all? Is that why he's mad?
First of all, my question is, has your paycheck been docked?
No, it has not.
Not if you've seen his suits on Saturday. You can tell his paycheck has not been docked.
No, that's not going to affect it either. But no, I take all criticism and brush it off.
First of all, what's an Auburn fan going by the name of Peyton? Isn't that a Tennessee name?
Yeah, and why is he in Florida? It's a lot of questionable things with that call. A lot of questionable
but
things.
But if you were going to dissect Auburn, what would you say?
I would have said that they had a good chance with, you know, running the quarterback last week. I thought that was really good. I think they got to continue to find ways to get their tight end involved. Merriweather, I think.
We don't care about, about Auburn this week. Let's talk about what's happening right here.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's what I wanted to
you
do anyway.
Paul, you made Peyton so upset right now.
That's exactly what I wanted to do anyways. So I think this is a very unique matchup because Georgia has not started out fast at all this year, and so they have to find a way to kind of jumpstart this offense. They cannot continue to play with their food every week and think that they're just going to be better than everybody else. Auburn was not good enough holistically to beat Georgia when it's all said and done. They could take them to deep waters, but this team, this Georgia team, what Kirby's been able to build here, you have to knock this team out. They are the heavyweight champions for a reason, and you don't get to go the distance with the champion and think you're going to win the decision. You have to knock them out. And Georgia right now, like Tim said, you're going to get Georgia's best when it's needed the most, and that's what they continue to prove over and over week after week.
Tim, you were trying to do something at Florida, winning three titles in 4 years. It's slightly different, but not much. The pressure was always on you guys. How much of that do you see when you watch this Georgia team play, just the weight of the world?
There is a reality to it, I think, that we need to try to understand. It's hard for people to put themselves in that shoes because they don't know what it's like. But there is a reality to that weight, to that pressure. And I think Kirby Smart is doing a really good job of helping to take that weight off of this team, off of the players, because you need to celebrate every win, because there's a lot of the fan base and a lot of critics and a lot of media that are going to say, you didn't win by as many, you didn't look as good. And what Kirby needs to do is what he's continue to do is what he's done. Just celebrate every win. Just get a W and give your players a chance to relax. You don't have to please all the critics. You need to just focus on improving as a team. That's what he's always done. I believe it's what he'll continue to do, and that takes a lot of pressure.
It does. It keeps him in the moment, too.
It does.
Stay in the moment. Don't worry about all these other things. Just continue to win, and that's going to set up everything else for you naturally. The only thing that really slows down Georgia is that they will be continued to compare to their previous two championship teams.
That's the whole point.
That's what really makes it tough.
And you can't compare.
No.
You know, it's one of the biggest – things to get over in sports and in general. As you know, 12% of our daily thoughts are spent in some form of comparison. And when you're using your daily thoughts to compare against somebody else, guess what? You know, that's 12% of your day that you're not actually being your best. And when we want to be our best, it's not looking at our yesterday self. It's not looking at somebody else. It's focusing in the now and in the present, not focusing on somebody else. And as a team, to be your best, you can't look at somebody else or yesteryear. It has to be right now. What are the things that I have to do and I can do to improve?
High five. Where do you get that 12% from, though?
Just studying, man.
This guy has a number on that for every aspect.
Yeah, I was like, where do you get 12 from?
Before Georgia ruled college football, Alabama did. And they're trying to figure out a way to get back. And tomorrow, Roman, they take on the Aggies. This is another game everyone in the country is watching. Some people think the West is on the line. What do you say about
that? I think the early lead for the West is on the line. But at the end of the day, Alabama has to continue to do what they do. And this core offense has to continue to revolve around this kid right here, Jalen Milroe. He is a special athlete. He has all types of ability. But we know how good this Texas defensive line is playing right now. They're wrecking everything that they see. And so it's going to be very challenging early. I think Alabama has to come into this game with a mindset of being the underdog. They got to come in ready to go early.
But they're not.
They need to call this game. I said play it.
The mindset
of the underdog. And you got to come out aggressive. You can't sit up here and think you're going to survive this game and just win it late. I don't think it's able to do that. I think Kyle Field, this Texas A&M team,
it's going to be rowdy.
Yes, it's going to be rowdy. You need to come out early and try and establish your dominance or some kind of way that, no, we're here to play.
I think it's a mindset that they had against Ole Miss, right? When their back's against the wall and you see a team play angry, play with so much pride. I think we also need to give a lot of respect to this A&M team. This defense has gotten so much better for Miami. The defensive line, the front seven, is dominating. Max Johnson has come in and done a really good job. And if it's not for about 8 to 10 plays that A&M's had this year, two or three against Miami, a couple against Arkansas, and a few scattered throughout this team would be undefeated, and they would have been one of the more dominant teams in college football. So it's a very scary game for Alabama. This Texas A&M team is the closest in our time of doing this that can actually match up body for body, athlete to athlete, with Bama. And there's a lot of good teams that they've had. But even some of their best teams, the one that should have probably been a college football playoff, you could tell what they couldn't match up with the receivers that Alabama had, and they couldn't match up with Tua and all of those guys. This team is the closest that they've had to actually matching up player for player.
There is one other really – well, there are a lot of intriguing games, but this one has a lot on the line, too. LSU limping into Como, Roman. And are we buying what Eli Drinkwitz is trying to sell right now?
I don't know about how much I'm buying what he's selling, but I definitely am not buying anything that LSU is doing defensively. That's for sure. They need to find a way to stop anything right now. Jaden Daniels is playing at an all-time high. But you can't expect to win games by having to score 40-something 50 points every single week.
And last week, let's just say they needed 60.
You know what I mean? And you look at it, it's like, okay, the last five games that LSU's lost, they've averaged giving up 46.5 points in each one of those losses. That is gut-wrenching when you're like a defense and an offense that you have to score out there and score 50 for just in case, just for us to have a chance to win a game.
Yeah. I mean – that's the defense has to improve. It really does. I think they need to adjust a little bit of scheme. They need to be more aggressive. Like sometimes when you're on your heels, you need to say, okay, we're changing this. We're going to be aggressive. Get some momentum in their defense. Get some belief in their defense. Stop sitting back. Let's get aggressive with it. But I do like some of the things that Missouri's doing. I think their front seven defensively is playing really well. Agreed. I think they're playing team football. I really like what they're doing and getting it to the playmaker, especially Luther Burden early. They're forcing it to him, and I love that. Because he gets involved. And I think Brady Cook has really taken the next steps with his eyes, with his fundamentals, his ability to throw the deep ball. That's one issue that he had a little bit last year was the deep ball.
He did.
I'm with you. But he's on the money right now with it. So this is a good team that's improving every week, and I think they deserve some credit.
Okay, Tim, thank you. Roman, I think you survived the Peyton
acquisition. Come see me, dog. Don't really come see me. Please don't.
No.
Please.
You're good.
We're good. Thank you. How about Athens?
We'll be right back. Much more to come after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. And our gridiron guest, brought to you by Johnsonville, is Greg McElroy. We weren't sure. We haven't seen you in a while. It's great to see you. You're doing this game tomorrow night, so thanks for scooting over.
It's going to be awesome. I'm glad to be back in the conference. Have not done an SEC game.
We've
been all over the place.
You have been.
But not in familiar territory, so it's good to be back in the South.
It's not like you haven't kept up with the conversation every morning, but there's been a lot of chatter about the Dogs. So give us your assessment of where this program is. This terrible program, ranked number one in the country, 22 wins, back-to-back national championships, but it seems like everything is gone.
Well, it's the amount of turnover that the program has experienced the last couple of years has really been unprecedented. I mean, 34 draft picks or some absurd number the last couple years, and it's just pretty remarkable what Kirby's been able to create. You know, in an era where so many teams are just, you know, going to the portal and just plugging holes, I mean, Kirby's kind of developing from within, and while they've attracted a couple guys via the portal, that's not really their bread and butter. So it's really been impressive to watch them work. Granted, though, this team has had, I think, a really good run for several years of having really good injury history. They've stayed healthy. This group in particular has had some adversity in that aspect. I mean, Ladd McConkey's missed time. Bullard missed a couple weeks. They've lost Wims at the right tackle spot. They've had a bunch of attrition at the running back spot. Obviously, a couple guys back now. So they're still kind of trying to figure themselves out. But as far as ceiling's concerned, they get going, man. They're as good as anybody, and that's been the case for several years.
Greg, you led a team in 2010 that was expected to do it again. It was automatic. And I don't know if this stuff has anything to do with anything, but the weight of having won the title, expected to win another title, does that factor into this, or is this just football that we're watching here?
I never feel like it factors in as much, because the internal expectation is going to be higher than the external expectation. I remember, you know, there was games we'd come out and we'd win by 40 and we were unhappy because we didn't play well. And I think right. That's kind of where Georgia is right now, where their own standard is higher than that of what is to be expected outside. But they also, you have to take into account, I mean, this is a game that's been circled for every single opponent. Auburn, South Carolina, Kentucky, every single team they'll face this year has had this thing circled all offseason. So their coaches know that, man, contract extensions are really valuable, and you're going to get one if you beat Georgia. So they're all putting their best foot forward, and you're seeing tendency breakers, and people have kind of referenced the slow starts. And part of the reason why it's slow starts is because people are coming out doing things they've never done before. And Georgia's got to kind of burn some chalk on the sideline and figure out, all right, hang on, here's how they're attacking us, here's how they've done it, here's what we've prepared for, and here's how they're going at it today. And that's maybe taken a little bit of time, and that's maybe been a little bit frustrating, but it's really a testament to just how good the program's become and how much respect the program gets on a weekly basis from the opposing coaching staff.
Talking to Greg McElroy, obviously the first topic, the game here. Let's bounce around a little bit, because you've had a few of these same questions on your show in Birmingham about Alabama. It seems like in 2 weeks, the doom and gloom, the everything is done, let's get a new coach, has changed. You're watching it in a minute-to-minute time frame. Tell us about it.
Well, I think that, look, we ebb and flow as fans and as consumers of the sport. And I think Georgia falls victim to this. I think Ohio State falls victim to this. Florida in the past has fallen victim to this. I mean, I remember when they went to the SEC championship game in 2015 and hated their team. You know what I mean? So it's not always necessarily the result that matters. It's more about how you look in the effort to get to the result. And I think that that's a tricky spot to be in, because ultimately scoring more points than the other team on a week-to-week basis is what matters most. I do think Alabama had a bit of an identity crisis early on. I think they wanted to be a team that imposed their will along the line of scrimmage. They wanted to play great defense, complementary football. That was the adjustment that they'd talked about all offseason. And the offensive line just didn't materialize early on. And I think they were kind of trying to figure out their personnel at quarterback. Like, what is Jalen comfortable doing? Here's what he's done well in practice. Let's see if he can handle that. And I think early in the season, they probably recognized against Middle Tennessee, hey, let's drop him back some because we know he can do quarterback run. Let's drop him back some and see how he handles it. And then against Texas, obviously a couple mistakes led to that game probably being a little more sideways than it was. But at the time, people didn't really believe in Texas. I mean, they were a good team, a talented team, but, you know, they'll blow it. You know, that's what I think a lot of people thought. Now, as we've moved forward 6-7 weeks, I mean, people are starting to realize this is a legit national championship contender, and Bama played them pretty well with the exception of about 4 plays. 2 turnovers and 2 big plays thrown over the top. But those are the 4 plays that win and lose championships. So I think Alabama's doing just fine. This will be a really difficult matchup this weekend against Texas A&M. But I really believe that they have improved drastically from where they were just a few weeks ago.
I know when Tommy Rees came in, you and others were high on him. There is some sniping at him in terms of just adjusting with Jalen Miller. Now, that's from the peanut gallery. You're seeing it from a completely different perspective. Tell us where you think he is right now in his maturation as an offensive coordinator?
Well, he has to learn his personnel, I mean, first and foremost. And it took a couple weeks to maybe figure out what that personnel was going to be. I mean, look, if Jalen Milroe had gone out in fall camp and lit it up, then it probably would have been easier to design an offense that is exclusively built around his skill set. But knowing that his skill set is so unique that in the event in which they put everything, every single egg into that basket early on and he were to get dinged up, well, the backup quarterback skill set's very different from that of what Jalen Milroe is going to be. So they wanted to kind of have an offense that would be capable of beating you in several different ways. But now they've realized, as Jalen's kind of gotten more comfortable, here's what he does well. Here's what we need to do to put him in best position to be successful. And conversely, how do we get the players around him to play better as well? Who's our best matchup weapon on the outside? How are we going to make sure that our young left tackle is comfortable, because speed is going to give him some issues at 365 pounds. And he's never seen speed like he's going to see at this level. So I think he just had to have a little bit of a process of a feeling out. And he's a really smart coach. I still strongly believe in his hiring. But every single coordinator in the history of Alabama football, especially on the offensive side, has been heavily scrutinized. And frankly, on the defensive side too, because I remember a time in 2015 when they wanted to run Kirby Smart out of the gym when after the Ole Miss game. So the coordinators are going to be heavily scrutinized, and that's just the way it is. But I think Tommy has a good plan for how to combat what might be some liabilities within his own offense.
Speaking of coordinators, can the LSU defense be tweaked in time to save the season?
I like Missouri tomorrow. I do. I think Missouri gets it done. They're really disruptive. They're number one team in the SEC right now against the run, and LSU's running for about 200 yards a game. A lot of that, though, is Jaden Daniels, right? I mean, kind of dropping back, scrambling, making plays, things like that. But they're not really a traditional run outfit. The one area of concern, though, is I'm sure you've documented and probably talked to a couple people off the ledge or maybe pushed them closer. Knowing you, you probably pushed them a little closer to the edge of the cliff this week. This secondary is a real problem. I mean, a real problem. They don't tackle well. They don't communicate well. They have busting coverage. They let guys run free. It's concerning, to say the least. They looked much better, actually, week one when they got torched by Florida State than they did even last week against Ole Miss, which when you're regressing on defense, that shouldn't happen. So that, I think, is of significant concern, especially knowing what they're playing tomorrow. I mean, Theo Weiss is an excellent number two wide receiver, and Luther Burden after the catch is a handful. Brady Cook's playing really good football, and I think they're still going to stay patient enough in the run game to at least keep LSU honest. So I think that's going to be a tough spot. 11 a.m., never like LSU at 11 a.m. I personally don't. Seen him play at 11. I've seen him play at night, and they're a little different at night. So I think it's going to be a tough spot for him. Cone will be rocking. I think Missouri pulls the outright upset.
Greg McElroy, you'll hear him tomorrow night, of course, on this game here when Kentucky takes on Georgia. Greg, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, buddy.
We have the president of the University of Georgia, Jerry Moorhead, coming up next. We're back in Athens after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back. We're joined by Jerry Moorhead, the president of the University of Georgia, which is pretty all-encompassing. In and of itself, he's the outgoing president of the SEC, he's the chair of the NCAA Board of Directors, and quite frankly, his resume would take us the rest of the afternoon, but it's great to see you. Thanks
great
so much for
you.
Always making time.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, let's start here, then I'll get to some meaty issues around intercollegiate athletics, but we are in the middle of something that is truly extraordinary, and I know that there are a lot of aspects of being the president here, but having the two-time national champion isn't bad, is it?
I'll take that in a 22-game winning streak.
I can understand that, and you're somebody who comes from a legal background and has spent so much time at this university, in teaching and in running departments, but it's hard to get past the importance of college football. But it feels here, though, President Moorhead, that everything seems to be in perspective, though. I mean, everybody also understands what a fantastic university this is.
Well, we're a top 20 public university, U.S. News and World Report, eighth consecutive year in the top 20. So we're doing well academically and athletically, and it's great to be an academic and athletic powerhouse.
Let's talk about just first of all being a president at a time like this. There's so many things that are enjoyable, and then there are those that do keep you up at night, and it's a balancing act. It's part of it, but it also comes with great responsibility.
It's incredibly rewarding, and you know there are challenging issues that all presidents face. But when you spend time with your students and your faculty and the staff and the alumni of this institution, it inspires me every day as I go into year 11.
That is remarkable, because you often hear people at this level of higher education, as talented as they are, there is a burnout factor. You look like you have hung in there pretty well.
I still enjoy the job very much.
What is there about when you walk around a campus on a day like today and you see students excited and parents and grandparents and obviously Bulldogs? What does it do to you as somebody who has been such an important part of this university for so long?
Well, I'm a graduate of the university, so this place means everything, and it just makes me proud to be in this position to help continue to advance the institution. And I just enjoy the excitement, particularly that our students feel about being at the University of Georgia.
And I mentioned to you once, we were talking about graduation rates, but every time I run into a student when I'm walking around town, they do want to graduate, but they never want to leave either. And I know that becomes a conundrum, because at some point, however many years, it finally runs out.
Well, that's why we have 250 programs now for bachelor's and master's degrees, so our students can earn that bachelor's degree in 4 years and then get their master's degree as well.
I remember you told me a couple of years ago that we were talking about Kirby Smart. I don't think he had won his first title yet. You were reminding me of what he was like as a student. You knew him well. And you also saw a lot of his potential, even at that age.
He was an intense student in my class, in our business school, and I think we would say he's an intense coach, and that's what we appreciate about him.
he is definitely intense. I had the fortune, I think, although it was scary, of being in a locker room with him. It was only a spring game, President Moorhead, and it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And that was the same. That was a team being divided up. I cannot imagine what it was like last Saturday at Auburn when things were not going very well.
Well, he's a great leader, and he loves the university. I mean, he's got a classroom named after him and his wife in the business school. They're both graduates of our business school, so he's very loyal to this institution, and that means a lot to have a head coach who loves his university.
Let me talk to you a little bit, President Moorhead, about your role and your interaction with so many other leaders around the sport, because not only in your leadership in the SEC, but as I mentioned, your chairmanship of the board of directors of the NCAA, you deal with the highest, the most sensitive and important issues. And I know there is a lot of negativity out there about where we are going. Can you give us reason for hope about, especially from the NCAA level, which seems to be under attack on all sides?
Well, I think we've got a great new president in Charlie Baker, the former governor of Massachusetts, and I think he is charting a very positive path for the NCAA. But candidly, right now, Paul, we've got to get help from Congress. We've got some important issues that only Congress can solve, and we need congressional action.
I was chatting with your friend Commissioner Sankey last night, and he alluded to what's up and down the news channel these days. And I mean, there are plenty of jokes about trying to get something done there, considering nothing is being done. But will that take patience? What will it take to finally get interaction there?
I think we've got to galvanize our supporters so that they understand how critical it is to get their representatives to engage on these important issues. And, you know, we're working on that at some level, but I think we've got to become more intensive and more focused about telling the story to Congress, because it's going to take congressional intervention to solve some of these important issues.
Not to be a doomsdayer, but as we wait for them to act, wouldn't be a bad idea if they picked a speaker first.
Right.
But what can the sport do to sustain itself during the interim? Because it could be a while.
Well, you've seen this week alone, the NCAA advanced some new initiatives, cutting the transfer window down. They're moving forward on some reforms to NIL. But there are limited things that can be done at the NCAA level without potentially implicating antitrust considerations. So I think President Charlie Baker, Commissioner Sankey, they're all working on trying to move forward in the environment that we have. But really, we need a national framework to solve some of these issues.
I'll lean on your legal background in addition to your leadership in business and as a college president. But from that standpoint, it seems like there are many issues coming down this pike. What concerns you as you look ahead, assuming that this thing takes a while to get some assistance? But that even if it does, there's still other problems that are very serious.
Very concerned about a lawsuit in California, the House litigation. That lawsuit, I don't think many people know a lot about, but it could be potentially very dangerous to the future of college athletics. I think we have to educate Congress on that particular case. We've got other pieces of litigation going on trying to challenge whether or not football players should be employees at an institution. So there's just a lot out there. We need to sit around a table and deal with them one by one in ways that will ultimately preserve what makes this sport so vitally important to everyone.
President Jerry Moorhead, who has displayed exemplary leadership both on this campus and the SEC and around the world of intercollegiate athletics, it's always such a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
President Jerry Moorhead joining us here in Athens. What a weekend it has already been, and we are just barely 45 minutes into the program. We'll continue.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It starts early Saturday morning, 9 a.m., Marty and McGee, and then live from Athens, SEC Nation. You'll see Kirby Smart. Cole Kublik joining us now as we say hello to you from Athens. Cole is in Oxford tomorrow night, Arkansas heading in there. And last year this game was a stunner in many ways, but Cole, as we try to figure out Arkansas, perhaps before even Ole Miss, what is going on with this program other than a brutal stretch?
In the middle of that brutal stretch, Paul, I think some identity on offense is what Sam Pittman would like this group to find. Rocket Sanders back last week, didn't get a full go, but I think he'll be closer to 100% this week. They'd like to give him 25, 30 carries if they can get him going somewhere faster than what they had last season. They'll move the offensive line around a little bit, try to find some other tight ends that could potentially contribute. North Texas transfer Varkeese Gums. I look for him and his athleticism to maybe be someone who can help this Arkansas rushing attack get going and then maybe be utilized in play action. Defensively, they'll have their hands full because obviously Lane Kiffin's group on offense is almost back at full strength. That's been really the issue for Ole Miss on offense is availability. And Travis Williams, that new defensive coordinator at Arkansas, knows tempo, big plays, a mobile quarterback, and the best running back in college football are something he's going to have to try and manage.
Cole, let's bounce around a little bit. We'll start here in Athens. This Kentucky program has been the talk of the SEC lately. We saw what happened last week with a dominant line of scrimmage game, a rushing game. I don't know how much of that was Florida, but they take on a different deal tomorrow night against Georgia. What happens in your estimation?
Yeah, Paul, that rushing attack, I do not think it will be anywhere near to the extent that it was against Florida. You hit it right on the head. I'm glad you've been studying the trenches there and the offensive line and defensive lines. Those edge defenders for Florida played with a lot of uncertainty against gap scheme runs. So when Kentucky would block back and pull around, the edge defenders, the overhang defenders, the linebackers, a lot of times would not crash right away, kind of tried to dick and dodge a lot of different blocks that they tried to play, didn't really come up and play with a lot of authority. You put the Georgia film on against Auburn last week when they showed some of the same things, but obviously would pull some, had some replays. They come down with authority, and they're going to play those type of runs in a very different manner. I think it's going to make it very difficult for Ray Davis to get going. Obviously, the linebacker play that Kentucky brings to the, or that Georgia brings to the table is exceptional. Dumas Johnson and Smail Munden have been fantastic this year. Where Kentucky has to win this game is protecting Devin Leary and Devin Leary hitting shot plays down the field. Because of how Georgia plays coverage, these athletic Kentucky receivers will have opportunities to come up with some big plays. That's got to happen, in my opinion, Paul. They haven't had to have Devin Leary go out and win a lot of football games this year. I think he has to be the key cognizant to what Kentucky gets on offense to be able to win this football game.
Chatting with Cole Kublik, who is in Oxford for the game tomorrow night, Arkansas and Ole Miss. Cole, I know on your program, on Jocks, the Alabama game has been a big topic of conversation. What are you looking for tomorrow in College Station?
I'll go back to the line of scrimmage, Paul. I think the best defensive line in college football, specifically with talent and depth, lies in College Station, Texas. This Alabama offensive line has really underperformed up until last week against Mississippi State. That's what we thought we were going to get early in the season. Now, it wasn't perfect, but boy, it was close to what we thought it was supposed to look like the entire season. It's a different group that State brought to the table than what the Aggies will bring. That has to be managed first and foremost. It doesn't matter if it's a run-heavy plan, a quarterback run-heavy plan, a pass-heavy plan, because they have waves of guys that can hit you with different body types, different strengths that they bring to the table and how they attack you, and they have depth, which means they're not going to wear down. That has to be taken care of first and foremost. I think turnovers are going to be the story in this game. Max Johnson, the last three football seasons, he has 13 fumbles and 7 interceptions. He lost 2 fumbles last week, but because A&M gets the win, there's not a lot of emphasis on that, Paul. I think Max Johnson needs to not only protect the football, but protect himself. He's taken a few unnecessary hits. He has to remember he's a second-string quarterback who now happens to be the starter. You get to your third-string quarterback, it's going to be very difficult for A&M to win games like this and maybe even go on and win the West. Jalen Milroe the same way. Find explosive plays and be able to maybe create some on your own. Tommy Rees going to have a plan that neutralizes that A&M defensive line if Alabama's going to find consistent movement on offense.
And speaking of Milroe, he has certainly gotten a lot better, but there's still an, oh, my goodness, what did he just do mentality. What are your thoughts on Milroe right now?
Well, the playmaking ability is exceptional, and he does have that wow factor, Paul. He brings that to the table. I do think Tommy Rees has begun to mold the offense around him just a little bit more. Utilize those strengths. Design a few more quarterback runs. Add a blocker. Play heavier personnel. You saw more Robbie Oots last week. C.J. Dupree at tight end, helping open some things up. And then let him pick and choose some of the passes that he wants to throw. I feel like he's beginning to understand also, if things aren't there, put the ball down and run. You can be dynamic that way. It's not just about escaping some potential pressure. It's creating an explosive play. And then, two, I think just find who his go-to targets are going to be. It felt last week like tight end Amari Nyblak is going to be that guy. I don't know if he necessarily has that receiver yet, Paul, that on, say, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, he knows no matter where he throws the football, there's a good chance that guy's going to come down with it. So I want to see his confidence grow with a go-to target inside that Alabama offense as well.
Cole, one more game I do want to get some thoughts on. And LSU's defense has just been bashed from all ends. Your thoughts on Missouri hosting LSU tomorrow morning?
Well, I think a lot of this comes down to quarterback play. We know Jaden Daniels has been exceptional. I don't anticipate Blake Baker's group to just slow them down or stop them. But they do have an attacking front that's different than a lot that you're going to see in this league. And what I have noticed from the Missouri secondary, Paul, is they might not bat a lot of balls down or intercept a lot of passes, but they are often in position to make a play as soon as the receiver catches the pass. And they get them to the ground. It's a good tackling team. They can limit explosive plays that way. And Brady Cook's been out of his mind. I mean, I think when you look at Kirby Moore and what he's done to this offense, Brady Cook has 300-yard games in his career. They're his last three games. He hasn't thrown an interception in 11 games. So he has found his calm in the pocket. And when you have a guy like Luther Burden, I can understand why. They're going to run that stretch zone play, try to play action off of that, get that LSU secondary to bite down, which technically you don't even really need that with the way they're covering people this year. But I like Missouri at home in that matchup. It's the biggest game since maybe 2010-ish for the Missouri Tigers. Should be a fun environment.
Cole, many thanks. Cole Kubik, part of the call tomorrow night as Arkansas tries to end a brutal losing streak against Ole Miss, which still is alive in the SEC West. Well, we are here in Athens. What an afternoon it has been so far. Kirby Smart about an hour and a half away. Holly Rowe joining us next on one of the biggest games of the day in Dallas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.